As we said earlier in personal finance today, this is a very personal matter and a very complex and emotional matter for so many people, thousands of people in both the private and public sector losing their jobs at the moment. The economy is in a major reset. And also, of course, a deliberate move by the current government with the respect of the public sector to reduce its headcount. So many, many people going through this experience at the moment of redundancy, either taken voluntarily or in some cases involuntarily. It is about finance, but it's not just about finance. Lisa Dudson is the owner of Acumen.co.nz. Her advice is, as always, in the segment of a general nature. She's with us now on this topic in the Auckland studio. Good morning, Lisa. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
So to start with, there's the shock and almost the kind of overwhelm that people can experience when redundancy is announced. It's a different experience. Some people will be at a point where actually a voluntary redundancy suits them. But for many, many people, this is painful and unchosen. And where do you begin, Lisa?
Well, I think that the first thing is really to take stock of where you are financially, because I would imagine for most people it's the financial pressure that you are now in of being able to try and pay your mortgages and your outgoings when you no longer have a job. So I think whether you have been recently been made redundant or you think there might be a chance of you being made redundant, then it's really important to just go back to your finances and go, well, where am I at? Have I got some rainy day money? Be super proactive around what can you cut back, because what I've found in the past is people often cut back too late. I think if there's, you know, if you're in that space with being made redundant or again thinking it might be happening to you, you've got to be super quick with starting to cut back your costs, so then you've actually got something to tide you over until you find something else. So that's the first thing,
isn't it? And it's the fight or flight can strike if straight away you think, I am not in a position to keep up my mortgage payments, I'm not in a position to keep up my rent payments potentially. So can we speak first a little bit about that fight or flight? And because the emotion runs all the way through this, but do you just need to get to a point by talking, by seeking help, seeking support, where you can sit down and think about the practical and the near-term practical?
Yeah, of course. And I think, you know, your mindset is, I guess, almost as important as assessing your finances, because when you're in that fight or flight mode, then sometimes you don't think very clearly because of all the stress that you're facing. So I think, you know, talking to your friends, going to see a counsellor. If you have been made redundant, your employer may have provided some support services for you through that process. Be proactive and use those. I think there is, you know, less now than what there used to be, a bit of a stigma of going and seeking professional help, but that actually might be, you know, incredibly helpful for you, because having that positive mindset, I think, will, you know, put you in good stead. Because if you get really stressed and just put your head in the sand and worry about it, and, you know, weeks, months down the track, then that just creates more pressure.
Well, come to talking to your bank in the first instance if you have a mortgage or another substantial amount of lending with them. But let's talk about redundancy in the first place. Redundancy packages can vary enormously depending on what your job is, how long you've worked there. But what's your first thought if there is some redundancy package?
Well, I guess it's just establishing what that is. And generally speaking, the longer you've been with an employer, the better your redundancy package is. And there will be people out there at the moment, and I talked to someone the other day who was going, oh gosh, you know, I'm super grateful that I've been made redundant, but they were in a very, very strong financial position. They'd been with their employer a long time and they got quite a big redundancy package. So for them, you know, it was actually probably quite a good thing. But for a lot of other people, they're not quite so fortunate. And if you've only been in your job, you know, a year or two, you may only get a month or two's worth of pay, so you know, you want to be super, super careful with that money. But the key thing is really just establishing what you're entitled to.
And how to use it in the first instance as well, because even that person who's got a longer amount, let's say we talk about it in terms of weeks or months of redundancy or full pay, it's a shock all of a sudden when that runs out and you've still got that, at the moment, quite high mortgage payment. So is your first thought to think, where do I allocate this redundancy payment? And wonderful if it can go off to your retirement savings, but for most people, will it be about ensuring you can manage that mortgage while you sort your income going forward?
Oh, absolutely. I think the first step is to see what you think your outgoings might be. And I think the other thing we have to be really sort of pragmatic about is that, you know, New Zealand's economy is not flash, right? And it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. So maybe in the past when you know, some people have experienced multiple redundancies, it might have been a bit easier to get a job. At the moment, it might be hard, much harder to get a job. So that may translate into the fact that you could be redundant for, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months, right? So I think, you know, you've got to be thinking about what happens if you don't get a job again quickly, and again, being really, really careful with your money and thinking about what are the things that are actually super urgent that you pay. And obviously your mortgages and your
pretty
rent
much
is
top of the list.
Yeah, top of the list.
Mortgage,
that's right.
And feeding the family is pretty much top of the list.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, but again, it's even on the food side of it, it might be that you can go and have a clean out of your cupboards and go, okay, well, I want to cut my grocery bill in half to the fresh stuff. Let's go and see what we can use in the freezer and the cans in the cupboard to cut down, you know, $100 or a couple of hundred bucks a week in your grocery bill. Like, there's even little things like that that can help.
The budget then is, as soon as you've got to the place where you can, the budget's the first thing, and you need to do that budget without panicking, Lisa. You need to try and say, okay, it doesn't add up at the moment. My job is to make it add up, or our job is to make it add up, and there might be various ways of doing that. But doing a budget that fits your new circumstances and prioritises those outgoings, is that one of the critical first steps?
Oh, you know, absolutely, because I think, you know, we often leave these, you know, things like doing a budget till, you know, we kind of put it to the side because we don't enjoy doing it, right? It involves sacrifice and cutting back, but I think you've got to start doing that literally the day that you know that you've been made redundant, because, you know,
people should be looking ahead at the moment, knowing what's happening and thinking, how am I placed if this happens? How's my emergency budget if this happens?
Absolutely. And quite frankly, you know, there's a lot more redundancies to come, right? So if you think there's any remote possibility of you being made redundant, you should be starting to implement some of these strategies, you know, today. And I think the other thing from a psychological point of view is to think that this, you know, your budgeting and being super careful with your money may only be a short-term thing. And I find that if you can change your headspace to go, this might just be a temporary thing, you're probably going to be more proactive doing it than if you're thinking about this as a long-term thing that you need to be dealing with. Although, having said that, though, you might learn some great new habits,
which you can keep.
Yeah, for the long term.
All right. So I mentioned the bank. Now, this is an issue, particularly if you have a mortgage. And the one thing you want to do is keep that mortgage going. But also, is there not an obligation, I think, to advise your bank if there's a significant change in your circumstances? Some people will be frightened straight away that this is going to be their house gone. What is the realistic conversation to have with your bank, and when? And does it pay to go armed with a budget and a plan?
Oh, look, of course. You know, I mean, look, I think the worst thing that you can do is put your head in the sand. If you are proactive and the bank can see that you're trying to make an effort and you've got a plan in place, they will be really helpful. But if you just put your head in the sand and ignore, you know, your mortgage payments and just don't pay them, then things are going to be much harder for you. And that same thing goes with the IRD. So if you're a small business owner, and you've got, you know, because you might not have been made redundant, but maybe let's say your income's dropped dramatically and you've got provisional tax payments from last year, which was a better year, then, you know, you pick up the phone and talk to the IRD and go, right, let's put a plan in place. Because if you just ignore them, it will get worse. So that's a really, really important message.
Another practical thing the bank might do if it's convinced of your plan is just go interest only on mortgage payments. Is there a possibility of a mortgage holiday in the short term?
Yes, and I think that word holiday, we have to be really careful with, because they use that a lot during the COVID, and holiday implies it's probably quite a good thing, but there
you'll
is
be
a
paying the holiday off.
Yeah, and probably paying a lot more interest for that privilege over the long term. So you just be mindful about that. But absolutely, maybe you can go interest only for, you know, 6 months to get you through. You know, there's a number of little things that you can do, and I think that's the other message. It's not necessarily just one thing. There's lots of small things that you can do will add up.
Like what?
Oh, well, you know, like you know, you may be able to look at your insurance. If you've got income protection insurance, pops into mind, and you may be on a 1 month stand down. You could go to a 3 month stand down and save a little bit on your premiums. Talk to your insurance advisor. It's the budgeting. It's being a little bit more careful about the electricity. It's cutting out the takeaways. It's like talking to the bank. It's cleaning out your, you know, the food, because often all of us have got way more food in our cupboards than what we need for a few weeks. It's maybe seeing what you've got that you can sell on Trade Me.
Do you need a flatmate if you've got your own place?
Flatmates. Yeah, absolutely.
To get some extra income in to help. Let's talk about what we alluded to at the start, which, shocking as this is, is a true fight or flight moment, particularly if you have those outgoings that are not going to be met once your redundancy runs out, right? What you try to do is to get from that helpless kind of mindset to the, okay, what's my way out of this mindset? And this includes getting some income coming in again. What are the ways of doing this? Do you take any job just to get an income coming in again? Look at that CV and think, how can I make this applicable to a range of jobs? Because as you say, regrettably, this happens in great numbers at a time when businesses and the public service are sort of downsizing.
Yes.
And so normally you've got this cracking CV and skill set, and different times you walk straight into a job. Do you have to think outside the square a bit recession?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it depends on your own personal circumstances. Like, you know, what level of skill do you have? What networks do you have? You know, how much in demand is your job right now? So obviously, if you work in the public sector, pickings might be pretty slim. If you work in marketing, that's been an area that's been, you know, cut back. Pickings might be quite slim there too. So, you know, it's really about your own personal circumstances and go, well, what's the reality for you based on a bit of market research to get another job, you know, sooner rather than later. And also your own financial position. You may have been planning this for a while, and you can actually be totally fine not having a job and paying your outgoings for 6 months, and see if therefore you can be a bit choosy. But if you're really worried about paying the mortgage next month, it may be that you've got to go and get a job, you know, waiting tables just to get some money coming in the door.
The other matter here is that emotional side of this and the confidence side of this, because the confidence can take a real blow.
Yeah.
And this is at a time when you want to be networking like hell. And selling yourself, and just even, and not necessarily overtly, but just incidentally, putting yourself in situations and using situations where that opportunity opens up, right? So it is important to get the CV right, have a plan right, have a short list of what your skills and attitudes and attributes are, even when you don't really feel that way at the moment.
Yeah, and I think one good tip also too is even if you're not working, to still get up in the morning like you are working, and put that time and energy into, you know, maybe some mindfulness, getting a bit of exercise, because that helps your mental health, you know, talking to some friends and colleagues about upskilling your, you know, redoing your CV, getting online, having a look, being proactive, ringing around, you know, various recruitment agencies, looking on Seek. You know, there's a lot that you can actually do. And even if you haven't been made redundant, but you're in that space where it could happen to you, you know, now's the time to start being proactive in that space and go, you know, are there any ways that you can upskill? You know, what else can you do in preparation? It might be that, you know, you do get your CV up to date and you haven't been made redundant yet, but at least if you are made redundant, then it's ready to go right then and there.
All right. Lisa, you'll have seen this come and go before, and it comes and goes to some extent with the economic cycle and certainly with, you know, government cycles with respect to the public service. And can you just finish, I guess, with some observations that you've seen people come through it and not only survive but thrive?
Oh, look, absolutely. And sometimes it's a really good opportunity for you to sit back and go, is this career or job that I've been doing what I really want to be doing? Longer term, it is an opportunity for you to sit back and recalibrate and think about your future. But at the same time, that's much harder to do when you're under a lot of financial pressure. So, you know, this will pass. It always does pass. I think that it's probably going to be, you know, we're in for a rocky ride for the rest of the year. It would be my looking into my hazy crystal ball. And it's not about you. I think that's the other thing to remember. It's just the economy and times are tough. Don't take it personally, because that'll just make it harder for you. Just come back and trying to do the best you can to believe in yourself and be super proactive with everything that you can think of that you can do to move forward.